हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 49, chapter 87, chapter 10. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that if sannyasis, persons on the renounced order of life, who have left their homes for self-realization, do not engage themselves in the devotional service of the Lord, but become attracted by philanthropic works such as opening educational institutions, hospitals or even monasteries, churches or temples of demigods, they find only trouble from such engagements, not only in this life, but in the next, right? Because when you're doing things for Krishna, that's the whole point. Renunciation means it's you're giving up the material for yourself, doing it for a higher purpose. So the actual highest purpose is doing it for Krishna. Then it works very nicely. Just as those who are involved in the fruitive activities, that the purpose of that is you know, not being sense gratification, but to please Krishna. Yes. So you see is that the position of both is the same. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point. Whether one's in the home or whether one's in the forest, it doesn't matter because you're trying to please Krishna, either through the renunciation, you know, the external aspect of renunciation, and that renunciation is for Krishna, and that all the things that go along with it, the facilities for that, then at the same time is then fruitive activities, and then all their facilities and that. It's also the same. It's not being done for yourself, but for Krishna. So either facilities are not for yourself, for Krishna, or renunciation is not for yourself, but for Krishna. So it doesn't matter which you use. They both are bona fide mediums for serving Krishna. But if you don't serve Krishna, then it will only give trouble. Even though it's nice here, you're feeding kids, you're educational, hospitals, monasteries, churches, temples of demigods, still going to give you trouble. Because it takes money, it takes management, it takes manpower, it takes so many different things, it's political things, it's this, that, it's a big trip. But if it's being done for Krishna, then what's the problem?
Maharaj, we see that the philosophy is stated very clearly by Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas. Mm. We see that currently we shift a little bit from the primary, yeah, like this, just little angle.
Yes, well, that's because the acharyas, they don't shift because they have the they understand that primary. That is their perspective. So then they can adjust with a wide range of secondary application with no problem. I can see Rupa Goswami, is it Narottam Das Thakur? Yeah, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, they could like move with kings and preach to kings. The same time as, you know, Rupa Goswami is walking around with just his kopins. You know, so when he went to visit Akbar, he just wore his kopins. I'm not sure if he changed to put on his best kopins, but like that. But he just was the same. So they could move in those circles. So whether they're dealing with, you know, as in the prayers of the Goswamis, they're dealing with the aristocratic, they're dealing with the ruffians, they're dealing with, you know, the general people, they're dealing with all, they could deal with anybody because the principle they see in everything is connected to Krishna. So that's why you see probably so much the Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. It's all Krishna. So you see everything in relationship how it will please Krishna. So You see it in relation to Krishna. You see the endeavor in relation, the result in relation to Krishna, your identity in relationship to Krishna. And it's all for Krishna's pleasure. So it doesn't matter what it is, whatever comes up that fits within their category of what they would work in, then they can engage in Krishna's service. But when we see the secondary, and then we see the primary, then the problem comes is that we'll try to improve the quality of the secondary, though we may not actually see its connection to the primary. I mean, of course, ultimately it is for, but we have to see that mechanically it's also going to get that. Otherwise, as Prabhupada points out, let's say you have a trajectory, and you have a straight line between here and Krishna, and then you are just off in your aim, just a touch, let's say half a degree. Now, the distance between here and Goloka, then it's quite big. So that's the whole thing. We may make the mistakes because we have, you know, the four defects. While the acharyas, they won't make these mistakes. Mm-hmm. So that's why one has to stick to their mood, how they approach, how they mechanics. You don't want to make things up yourself. You don't want to do things yourself. You try to express, understand, appreciate, and make it practical for yourself and others. But we don't try to use our own systems. As that makes sense. Because otherwise these systems are fault. We get it from the karmis. It's not working. Are the karmis becoming self-realized? No. So that means you have to be able to see how it connects to Krishna. It's not the system's going to make it happen. Right? In other words, it's not the medium. Because you have so many, let's say, for management. You have so many management systems. And people are successfully using, you know, any one of them or any combination. So that's not, so management as a principle, that's what they're applying. They happen to use the medium of that particular one. They find it works for their position or their nature or this or that. In other words, the other aspects of management they have, this is the part that they're unable to, you know, articulate. So it brings it out and now they can make it work. But for someone else, those principles are the ones that they're already following, naturally, and then the other parts that are missing, that's some other system is giving. Right? So then, that'll work, but how many of them are becoming God-conscious? No, so the system is not what makes you God-consciousness. God-consciousness makes you God-conscious. So then, if you want to use these things, then you have to see them in a relationship to how it works in Krishna consciousness. It has to be broken down into that. Otherwise, why approach a system if you're not going to analyze and see according to that system? Right? And so that means you have to be able to, if you can do that, you can see how things are working in your life and all that. Because if you can analyze a system and make it practically work, you'd be able to analyze your life and make it work.
Yes.
So if you can analyze a system,
yes,
but not your life, there's a good chance you're not actually going to make that system work. You're just going to learn the vocabulary and be good at talking about it. You know, you'll be an enthusiast. Because the practical person, they'll see that it works both, because their life affects that. You see, is the guys who don't change their life, but they take up these systems, but you see successful people, they change their life. You know, it's not an uncommon people, that common thing that people are actually, you know, successful. They get up early in the morning. Because they just know they need that time to themselves. That's all. You can do all the things that you want to do at that time because no one will bother you. You know, like that. And so, you know, it takes out of, you know, some. It doesn't take out of your work time. It doesn't take out of your family time. It might take something out of your party time. The party you're spending money, and this way you're getting benefits. So they do these things. They see their life. They adjust their life. But just having a system, if it can't be applied also within your life, then what's the meaning? So the Vedic system, they'll apply at all levels. In your life, in the family, in the sadhana, in your vocational. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that if we make adjustments based on our perspectives, then there's every chance that those perspectives are wrong. Just because of the four defects. So that's why we try to stay away from them. So we see, what do the acharyas say? Try to make it work. You know, not like, no, but philanthropic work, but what's Prabhupada saying here? If it's not, you know, connected to Krishna, then that's where the problem is. So we're not saying there's a problem with philanthropic work, but when we distribute prasad, we don't call it philanthropic work. It's like, okay, you invite people to the Sunday program, not some, you know, a certain amount of people come, a certain group come. Now you distribute free food at a certain time of day, another group will come. So it's a matter of how to reach these different groups. If we're just distributing food because then people will think we're philanthropic and they'll think we're fabulous people and now everybody will want to join, it's not happening like that. Because so many people are doing philanthropic work and they're not joining them either. Right? Everyone's going down and becoming Catholic because they distribute free food. You know, what about this? You know, oh, so many things. Oh, there's so much philanthropic work, no one's joining them. You know, they might give some money or something like that, or, you know, some interest or be a little supportive, but joining, that's in the, taking it up the practices? No. They have to be the association of devotees. So when you do that, it's not these things. It's devotion. So, but you can say, yeah, but it's this. But the point is no, it's devotion using this mechanic. If you say, no, it's this mechanic, and it happens to be devotion, then your view is backwards. I mean, it's a natural view. And that view is supported by Scripture. But that view is called a neophyte devotee. Right? Like that. So, the neophyte is the secondary, and you add primary to that. Right? Uttama, it's primary, and then you add secondary to that. And Madhyamin means that it's about the primary and about the, you know, and they're engaging the secondary. They're just not as focused on the primary as the Uttama. And they're not really that excited about the secondary like the neophyte. So they're in between. But it's positive to the, it's stronger, it's a stronger position. So it's more like the Uttama platform than it is like the neophyte. That's why Prabhupada says with Madhyama, that's the beginning of advanced devotional service. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because then you're solid, you're steady, and all that. Is that? Yeah. So one has to be careful about making these adjustments because we don't know the effect. Like that. We may say, no, it's wonderful and this and that. Yeah, as far as you've thought, but the point is we don't have the brain that Krishna does. He knows everything. So he knows what the effect is long term, while we don't. Whatever we start now, after some time, it's not the thing. You know, by the modern think, then from the 50s, it was all about man-made is better than natural. That's the advertisement. We were talking about advertisement. Right? That was the advertisement. It means nature's made it like this. Now we as man, with our intelligence, we improve upon it. You know, our intelligence, our technology, and all this. Like that. And now, a more enlightened, you know, educated, intellectual, liberal person, what kind of food do they eat? Food that's been transformed by man or more natural? Yeah. Of course, the packaging still has to be first class. but you know what I'm saying?
Natural.
Huh? Also. Yes, it is like that. But it's still... No, plastic is still just... It's just the way to go.
But it's getting much more fancy.
It means the paper on there has to be, you know, how to say, reused.
Recycled clothes.
Yeah, it's all recycled stuff, but if it's liquid, it's going to be in plastic. Or it's going to be in glass, but more in plastic.
Glass is getting popular again.
Yeah, so that'll pick up, it'll go. So these are all the things they were doing before the 50s. That was, you know, bad and all that, and stupid, and, you know, we're moved on and that and stuff. But now, it means after, you know, how many years, now it's just turning around the other way. Right? So then that's the difficulty. And how can they afford to do that? This is the fun part. How can those individuals that we describe afford to have the money to invest in this kind of natural, organic, and because it costs a lot more? It's because the third world is now using all the stuff that they've rejected and they can make money off of those guys. Yeah. So whatever. But the point coming is that they were so convinced by their intelligence, by their science, by their, you know, social views and political views and economic views that this is the future, this is the real thing, this is how it's all going to happen. And then you can see, at the time, people are already complaining about it. You know, that Ms. Braggs, she was already complaining about it then. You know, and still is, right? You know, so, and people have been, you know, that's where the alternative, things like that. That's how now the alternatives come, but because it makes money, right? But the point being is that if you go by the modern fads, then it has to be wrong. It has to be wrong. So that's why the Vedas give what always works, what is not going to create problems. So we can say, it's restrictive, or no one's doing that and that. And yeah, just give it time and everyone will be doing it. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like I just saw the other day. One of the things in the kind of, you know, bit in the intellectual kind of community is for ladies are using long dresses. It's popular again. But, you know, go back a few years, you were backwards for using that. But now, no, this is the thing. You're still using these, you know, miniskirts. You know, who does that? You know, so that's the whole thing, is it just changes. So whatever is there, you just do it, and it'll always work. So this whole thing of the need to be popular, that's a need for Shudras, because they need that emotional, you know, what do you call it?
Reinforcement.
Yeah, that I'm okay and all that. But if you're fixed in devotional service, then you don't need that. And if you say, no, as an individual, I need it, great. But then identify where it's coming from and don't try to say everybody's got to be a shooter. So, like that. And if that's identified, then the shooter was, what do we care? You know?
However, unfortunately, today even in devotee community, the popularity has become the sign of measurement of advancement.
Yes, it's the same thing. It's the same position. The same position.
But Maharaj, it's not the difficulty is to be fixed in following Krishna system.
Yes, that's the point.
And because it's sometimes with enthusiasm we can say okay, yes,
yeah.
But after when there is some difficulty we need to surrender.
But it means it's our own surrender to the process, but you also see it's the association you keep.
Yes.
So you keep that association which is going to be inspiring. So it's not about volume, it's about quality. Like, what do we have in it's just like this. This is, we could say, is a good place to start. You know, you want to start some way and build on it. What do we have in common with Krishna? Quality or quantity?
Quality.
So therefore, since when does quantity have is a meaning? Now, if you can have quality in quantity, then that's what Prabhupada was presenting. That's what the Acharyas present. But this thing is, it's either quality or quantity. That's not a discussion. It's quality in quantity. But the point is that it's not quantity, it's quality in quantity. So therefore, you may have five people, but if you have those quality people, with time it grows.
Yes.
You know, and the example being, you know, nice as a community, like Chopati. Started off with three people, and then after 20 years, then it was, you know, maybe about 30 years, it's 10,000. You know, so it's good. You can't. That's a good development, because they're not going for quantity; they're going for quality. And because you have quality, naturally quality attracts quality. Because quantity is that today they're into it, tomorrow they're not. Quality, then they do, they're committed, they'll be there for a lifetime. They see the effects, because they have quality, they can get things done, they're efficient, they're practical.
Ability.
They have that ability, yeah. So if you keep good association, you yourself therefore then try to keep yourself, you know, in that healthy Krishna consciousness, then it will all work. Like that. But if we avoid that, or, you know, like that, then we won't. It won't work as well. But good.
Maharaj, well, you were telling about the 1 degree deviation from the Goloka Ayurveda.
Yes.
So, this example of Shabari Muni, little deviation, he was like off track. So, how do we deal with the And when we come to know that this deviation is happening,
then you adjust. The point is, if you know it's off, you adjust. The point is, but you adjust what? It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, does it point at Krishna? Right? Say, let's say we start at the beginning, and we're half a degree off. And then we've gone down some distance. We don't go back to the beginning and then start again. From the position we're at, now we aim at the goal. You know, at Krishna. You know, and so then it takes us to Krishna. The point is to be between us and Krishna that you're trying to make a straight line. You know, through the parampara. So wherever you are, it doesn't matter. So that's the thing, you just make that adjustment. Okay. Sannyasis who do not take advantage of this life to realize Krishna simply waste their time and energy in activities outside the jurisdiction of the renounced order. A devotee's attempt to engage his energies in such activities as constructing a Vishnu temple, however, is never wasted. Right? Because then it's service to Krishna, you're doing it to please Krishna. People come and see Krishna, do service to Krishna. Such engagements are called Krishnarte Akila Cheshta, variegated activities performed to please Krishna. Right? So instead of being philanthropic, now it's being done as devotional service. Because anything material will give problem. Even something as nice as philanthropy and altruism, they'll always give problem. But when you do it for Krishna, not that problems aren't there, but it doesn't create a problem for your devotional service. Right? It may be obstacles in the unfolding of the activities, but it doesn't affect devotion itself, the flow of devotion. You know, just like an obstacle doesn't affect what water just goes around it. Right? It's just it continues. So for the devotee, these things don't disturb them because their goal is pleasing Krishna. So pleasing Krishna, then that's how they judge and they're happy. While for the materialist, then they're going to judge it based on their material sense gratification, the grosser subtle sense gratification, you know, or possibly liberation or whatever it is there. But that these things are going to give trouble that they don't get these things. So it's only trouble. Does that make sense? A philanthropist opening a school building and a devotee constructing a temple are not on the same level. Although a philanthropist opening an educational institution may be a pious activity, it comes under the laws of karma, whereas constructing a temple for Vishnu is devotional service. So not even only on that emotional or what effect you're going to get, is that you see it's devotional service while the other one has no devotional service in it at all. It's temporary. So just from that platform, the benefit is not lasting. Right? It'll have some effect within the realm of karma, but it's not going to further you in self-realization. Right? Karma can't help you in self-realization. Self-realization helps you in self-realization. Right? That's why association is important. You're practicing self-realization. The devotees are practicing. Then you get that double benefit. Right? Does that make sense? But if you're doing philanthropic work, someone else is doing philanthropic work, then it's you only get the benefit of your philanthropic work. You may get inspired, but it's still, it's not philanthropic to hang out with philanthropic people. But it's devotional to hang out with devotional people. Devotional service is never within the jurisdiction of the law of karma. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samadhityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Devotees of the personality of Godhead transcend all the reactions of the three modes of material nature and are situated on the transcendental platform of Brahman realization. Right? Because they see everything connected to Krishna. So that's the Brahman aspect. The devotees are liberated in both this life and the next. Any work done in this material world for a yajna, Vishnu or Krishna, is considered to be liberated work. But without connection with Achyuta, the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no possibility of stopping the resultant actions of the law of karma, right? Because karma means it's fallible. Krishna is infallible, I mean he's beyond karma. So then what's connected to Krishna becomes infallible. Right? The Shrutis continued. When a person realizes you, he no longer cares about his good and bad fortune arising from past pious and sinful acts, since it is you alone who control this good and bad fortune. Such a realized devotee also disregards what ordinary living beings say about him. Every day he fills his ears with your glories, which are recited in each age by the unbroken succession of Manu's descendants, and thus you become his ultimate salvation. Right, so, those who realize Krishna being the most important, what does one care about the good and bad fortune coming from previous good or bad karma? Right? Because it's about Krishna. You're going to be serving Krishna, engaging yourself in Krishna's service in whatever situation you're in. So whatever that situation is, you'll be absorbed. Because you can always practice one of the angas of bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. You don't get disturbed. Yes.
As you previously mentioned, that's the position of Uttam Adhikari. He isn't disturbed by external, whatever karma.
Yes, yes.
He can engage.
Right.
But what about Kanishta and Madhyama? They are disturbed, it's obvious.
Yes. But they have to have a goal. It's just like you go out the first day skiing, how well does it go? Are you there dropping out of the helicopter, hitting the powdered slopes and getting all the way down and they take a movie of it and like that, right?
Yeah.
Right, no, I think that you're in the movie of the fails, right? Yeah. Huh? You're in the hospital. You know, so you're improving the economic, situation of the country and stuff like that, yeah. So, the point is, but they have their who they consider, musician. Everybody has their, who they consider, and they try to follow that. So, that one makes mistakes and all that, that's there, that's normal. So it's just a matter of where do you want to go? Do you want to stay like that? You know what I'm saying? So we can't say, no, but we're kanistas and so we're like this. Yeah, of course. But do you want to stay like that? Or do you want to move forward to the Madhyam and move forward to the Uttam platform? So then that's what's recommended here. So when a person realizes you, he no longer. So before that, yes, you're affected. But the point is they're no less illusory. Right? So the point is for the those who realize Krishna, then they're not disturbed because they're if it's not connected to Krishna, what's the point? And if they've connected to Krishna, what's the problem? So when we understand this, we move forward. Otherwise, then we'll take it, no, but this has happened to me, how can I chant, this person said this to me and I'm so disturbed, how can I chant my japa? Why did Krishna allow him to say that? I'm a devotee. Why did this happen? So, yeah, then they don't chant. But do they have to not chant? No. So that's the thing, is that they move forward. So even someone who's progressive on any level, even material, they have this to some degree. Right? Because of the Satkaryavad element, that it's there in the great devotees. It will be there, in any activity that's successful. You have to not worry about, my business failed and then sit around. No, they start another one. That failed and then another one. That failed. Then by the fourth or fifth, it works. And the people that after one or two, they give up, then they don't make it. So it's a matter of those things, worrying about what the ordinary people say. If you worried about that, no one would be able to do anything, because ordinary people don't like anybody. And if they do, that's very temporary. Today they like them, tomorrow they like someone else better.
Yes.
It just keeps changing. So these things, even you want to be successful materially, you can't take these so seriously. You'll learn from, but you can't take them seriously. Because What do they actually know? What's their values? What are they trying to establish by their like and dislike? That's the thing. Because all it takes is some event some new book, some new talk host, some new movie, and they change their whole mood towards it. Like that. You know, something significant in their own life. And then they change everything. So why would we want to base our life on that? So we don't care what they say. They like, they don't like. You know, and we, because it mentions here good and bad. You don't compare both, because the point is if we care about the good and not the bad, it means we'll still get the bad.
Yes.
When you don't care about the good or the bad, then neither will bother you.
Yes.
Like that. So, yeah. So it's just a matter of we do the best we can with the understanding. We try to apply it, and by practice, and gradually, we'll see it will improve. But if we get distracted by it, then you know, it'll just take longer. So in other words, hang out with people that have more positive attitude.
What happens to the 90% of those who are not? Where do they go?
Just worry about the 10. It said here, don't worry about the ordinary.
Because everybody wants to hang out with happy people, but that's why we aren't happy. We want to be in the company of happies, but happies don't want to see us there.
Yes.
Then we spoil the fun.
Yeah, so you have to find like-minded, you know, that, who, you know, talk about we should be positive and then get grumpy. And then, you know, no, but we shouldn't be like that. We should be positive. Because it's a matter of Krishna consciousness. So it just may be we have to be in an environment where there aren't discussions. There's just service. You know, like that. They're so much more advanced than us that we don't even have a platform of conversation. And just have service, and by that you get purified, and then you'll be able to hang out with those who you can have a conversation with on a positive platform. You know. But in other words, hanging out with those who have a negative view about everything is better to be alone than to be with them. Like that. Because then you can't get positive about anything. Because unfortunately, especially in the contemporary environment, that will include, you know, that being grumpy about authority. And that's the one you really have to avoid. You know. So then you have to move forward into how to see things from a Krishna conscious perspective. Not that things aren't wrong, but what's the Krishna conscious perspective? Not the secondary. What's the principle that's wrong? And if you can catch the principle, then you can relate the secondary to that principle and then see how to adjust. But it's not that by discussing the secondary that will make the primary work. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Srila Rupa Goswami, he mentioned Sarvapadya Vinaya Muktam, and then we follow, all of us, we follow the same exact process.
Right.
But then some devotees, they still, their identity didn't change even after 30 years of service. Mm-hmm. Or
changed. It's changed to some degree. It's been
changed.
Yeah, but there'll still be some elements that are quite...
And others, it's changing very rapidly. So
yes.
What would be the difference?
Basically just that application, that desire, that applying the faith. I mean, they may have faith, but you have to apply it into these kind of points. Because these are key points. They haven't talked any technical stuff. And these are the personified Vedas, so it's not that they don't know technical stuff. But they're showing where you really put the effort. You know, in other words, when because it's not just, it means it's both on yourself and others. So some may not worry about the pious on on others, but on themselves, or maybe on themselves but not others, or this or that. It's just, it's not an important thing. What you're looking for is Krishna consciousness and that commitment to Krishna consciousness. So if somebody's there and they're steady, means that long as if they haven't changed but they're steady, then they'll progress. At some point it'll pick up. But if they haven't progressed and they're not steady, then it's just because they're not applying themselves. And the other one, they're getting purified and all that, and at some point then spontaneous devotional service will kick in. You know, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that from the Madhyama platform, spontaneous devotional service could manifest. And then you just continue that through into bhava and prema. But he says, but for some, it doesn't manifest, and they practice vaidhi all the way through until they get to the platform of bhava. Then at that time, it will manifest. So in any case, it'll come. So if someone's just, if there's things that they're regular at and that, they just keep doing those and they're steady, then things will improve. Like that. As they get purified, then eventually they'll start to see what things is extra baggage. Especially as they get older, families grow up, you know, you don't feel like, you know, how you say, to do any endeavor, you make a calculation on whether you're going to get up, when you're going to get up, and this and that, how much, you know, whether, what do you call it? You're judging profit and loss there, you know, is the, yeah. So at this point, you start to see, well, maybe less involvement in whatever they're doing is better. And so then, if they've been steady in Krishna consciousness, then naturally the Krishna consciousness will fill the gap. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of time. Like that.
You need to observe that such cases happen because the person is not taking personal guidance. There is no inspiration.
There's no personal guidance. Yes, you could say that. Much of the time, people who don't chase aren't into personal guidance. They tend to be... Yeah, they tend to just do whatever they're doing.
They only mind intelligence focus.
Yeah, that could be an aspect also. They're not really taking any close association in the way of like that. So they're not actually... There's nothing opposing what their mentality of what they're doing and how they're doing it. You know? So... But otherwise, if they're observant, they can see what others are doing, others are advancing, so what could they do? Just a matter of application. So they're doing whatever they're doing, they've accepted that, they continue with that, that's important. But they could also add in that analyzation where they start to see how to improve the quality of the service.
Maharshi, you said that, like I think yesterday you were mentioning about the importance to have our identity.
Yes.
And can we say also it is important to, when we say we are servant of Krishna, if it is clear in the beginning that we want pure bhakti, it's more, we can be focused
yes.
more.
Yes, yes. That's why the association and hearing, you'll notice that they're always talking about pure bhakti. They're not talking about
yes.
anything else. So it's always about this primary aspect. Though, different secondary situations are being described. One is that the secondary situations have no value if they don't assist in producing pure devotion, and that they themselves can't produce pure devotion. Pure devotion is produced by the association of devotees, and then following that instruction. So if that's appreciated, then you adjust how you view. Otherwise, we'll tend to look at the secondary aspects, and then those ones that we relate to, then we'll take those as that is Krishna consciousness. The ones we don't, then we'll do, as Mataji said, they'll start to adjust those to make it more compatible to their particular conditioning.
Yes.
Like that, but pure devotional service is beyond the conditioning, so it doesn't require that your conditioning is happy for it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And choice is individual.
And choice is individual. Yeah, it's always individual. That's why what Guru is saying is that two different people join, one moves quicker in devotional service, one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's choice.
Mm-hmm.
But, Much of the time we also see is that they've made the choice maybe in previous lives, so they're further along, but still the principle is they still made that choice, and therefore here you can see the practical result. So if you make that choice, you'll get that result.
And every day we have the choice.
Every day, every moment. Yeah. Like that. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, quote, that person with no control over the six urges, who is the charioteer of wild senses, who is devoid of knowledge and renunciation, who makes a living out of his sannyas, and who avoids me situated with him and the devotees, being a destroyer of dharma, full of passions, is deprived in this world and next. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:18, 40-41. Okay. We can see this, whenever they quote 11th canto, it's always has that some more the finer aspects of the technical. Then yes, yeah, so the point is if you're not trying to control the senses, which is the whole point of sannyas, is that you don't have to have much. Right, the grihastha is also supposed to control the senses, as is the brahmachari, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the Vedic system, you control the senses. So the brahmachari, there's nothing, and they control the senses in that environment. Senses being controlled, then as a grihastha, they continue to control the senses in an environment where there is facility.
Yes.
Right? And then, how do you say? Vanaprastha is that then you try to control the senses in reducing or having no facility. You know, it's just a matter of whatever is your... The idea is that you'll have as minimal facility as possible. Mm-hmm. So you'll even avoid facility, tend to. Mm-hmm. But sannyas means you don't care about facility. So if there's facility or not, you just use it for Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that's what everybody's trying to get to by the control of the senses. Is the grihastha doesn't care about facility. He just uses it for Krishna, because as a family person, you need facility, so he has it. The brahmachari doesn't care for facility, and he doesn't care that he doesn't have facility. Right? Does that make sense? So that's that. It's about its engagement connected to Krishna. So that's what the point is. So if you haven't been able to work it out before then, at least by sannyas you get an opportunity to have minimal things so you can work out not having these attachments. That's the idea. But the principle of the sannyas, the mentality, is supposed to be practiced from the very beginning. That's what brahmacharya life is for, is developing that. And how far you have, then that will make the other situations more advantageous. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. 9:30. So then you see the other is that even if something happens but he's situated in devotional service, then they'll still move forward. Because they'll get purified like this and then they'll give this up. While someone who is not and makes a living out of the sannyas, and that they're not going to get purified. So what progress will there be? But the devotee, because he's connecting everything to Krishna, if he makes a mistake, then still they'll progress.
Yes, yes.
Because they see this is wrong and this and that. There's no, as you can say, sinful reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it's just these things are contaminating to the consciousness. That's why they're avoided. They're not avoided because they're sinful. They're avoided because they contaminate the consciousness. And we're trying to be Krishna conscious. That's the problem. We think that, no, the sin itself is the problem. No, it's the contamination it generates is the problem. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. The dog's not the problem. It's the dog barking is the problem. You know what I'm saying? So, The sinful activity isn't specifically the problem. It's the effect on the consciousness and its effect to your environment that can affect your consciousness. That is the problem. So that's why sinful activities are avoided, because they affect consciousness. Otherwise, it's all an illusion anyway. In this way, the Lord praises his devotee, By all means, the Lord agrees with the Shrutis, who are his followers, at the end of their praises of him. Right? So, for the Lord, the devotee is what's special. So you can say, is no, but he's being sinful. Yeah, the whole world's sinful. Now, but they're not devotees. This person may be sinful, but a devotee. So it's a step forward. They're special. Now with time, if they maintain that devotional service in the association, any anomalies will be given up. Because we have to understand is this sinful position has a wide range. One, from things that are being done not in connection with Shastra. Right? It's vikarma. So that will be considered sinful, which will we generally take as the standard definition. You know, it's the popular, but it also, as we see when we get to 11th canto, sinful means it's not Krishna conscious.
Yes.
So even if one grossly is not Krishna conscious in a situation, though the situation itself went perfectly fine, but because they're committed to devotional service, then still they'll be considered a devotee. Right? And then they will, you know, by association and practice, they'll move beyond this. So it has a very wide range, this, because generally we only take it as the lower. Because we take it as, you know, just because I did everything purpose, but I had a bit of an attitude, that's not abominable. That's just normal. But for the Krishna conscious person, the fully Krishna conscious person, that is, that you could forget Krishna for a moment, that's wrong, that's bad. Yes.
In this connection, Garuda Puran mentioned that even if the movement is false, without remembering Krishna, you should loudly cry out like a child and chant the names of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Who said
that? What did you say? Garuda Purana. So Garuda Purana is Garuda talking, or Garuda, someone talking to Garuda?
Vishnu is referring to Garuda.
Vishnu is talking to Garuda, okay.
Chatushloki also, Prabhupada's Bhagavata, the last verse, Prabhupada quotes some words that forget Krishna even for one moment is the greatest cause, greatest anomaly, greatest chaos.
Yes, yes. So like that. So we can understand that that's at one end, and that just being, you know, a rat bag at the other end.
Yes.
So you have the whole array in between, because generally we'll just take it, they're sinful. Means activities that I don't consider pious.
Yes, yes.
Right? Even though it may be against the Vedic literature, but if I consider it okay in the modern context, it's still impious.
Yes.
Right? So we're taking it from there. And the other end is, what does Krishna say is pious? It means it's, what's the, what, it's in relation to devotion, that's pious, and what's not in relation to devotion, that's impious. So then it's everything in between. Who sets the standards of piety and impiety? Krishna or us? Right? Yes. Srila Sanatana Goswami quotes, as long as one does not become detached from daily and periodic duties, or has not awakened his faith in hearing topics about me, one must perform one's prescribed duties of Varnashram. Right? So, in other words, the specific duties have to be followed. Because otherwise, what are you going to do? What's going to keep you in a condition that's fit, that when you are Krishna conscious, that it's, how you say, favorable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if the mode of goodness is more favorable to being Krishna conscious than passion or ignorance, because goodness means you accept the scriptures, you perform your duties and everything like that. But goodness still has some passionate ignorance in it, that you may be doing it for material motives. You know, for liberation or for fruitive gains, right? So then, but if one comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, you're not living a lifestyle that's polluting you. Right? It's progressive, but not progressive like devotional service. It's a progressive position. So, therefore, one performs one's duties within Varnashram so that one will be stable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the whole point. if one gives these things up without understanding what they are, then what will one be doing? Because what will it mean that if you give up, one must perform those things? Why are you? What would be the difference? Okay, so let's take somebody who's nicely following Varnashram according to their, you know, prescribed duties. Now, let us say they become fully Krishna conscious. Why are they performing their duties within the Varnashram system?
To please Krishna.
So are they performing their prescribed duties of Varnashram? Or are they performing devotional service?
Devotional.
So they're also not following the prescribed duties of Varnashram.
Hmm.
They're doing devotional service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Or on the other scale, where we'll think, oh, they give up all these rules, this means, mm-hmm. but then if they don't follow Varnashram and they're fully absorbed in Krishna, then what would be socially their position? Yeah. They'd be a hamsa, paramahamsa.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they'd be sitting under a tree and wouldn't care about any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But if we care about our facility, family, money, social prestige, what everybody's saying, and then we say that, you know, but devotional service, we're supposed to give all this up, and they still keep doing, and not see, we don't have to follow Varnashram, then they're not well situated. That they're a devotee, but still, because they're a devotee, even though they're committing most abominable action by living as a malechera yavana, but, you know, they're a devotee, then still, they're engaged in devotional service. That's why they advance. Right? But the whole point is why not situate yourself properly? But it's not about being situated, it's about being pleasing to Krishna. So you have those who, like Priyavrata, you know, then are not following all the details of Varnashram because they're just out in the forest and meditating and doing their devotional service. Or when he is required to take up the Varnashram activities, he's still only absorbed in Krishna. So technically, either way, he's not performing Varnashram. One, externally he's not, internally he's not. And the other one, externally he is, but internally he's not. It's just about Krishna. So it has to be appreciated that it's a different perspective because you're looking at it from the primary, then seeing secondary.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at secondary first, then we're going to be judging by our samskaras, then what the secondary is this good or not, or favorable or not, or this or that, and then at some point maybe we'll get it to Krishna.
Yes.
Right? But it takes a long time. It's indirect. Wow, if we start with the primary, with Krishna, then when you view the secondary, it's all in relationship to Krishna. Where's the gap? Right? That's the whole point. No gap to mind. Because there is no gap. So that's what I mean. Mind the gap, right? Between the primary and the secondary. That gap's where you fall down, right? Right? Yes.
Maharaj, we were discussing previously about when one has to follow his prescribed duties in Varnashram, there are many rules mentioned in the scripture which he has to follow in order to maintain that steadiness. So as one becomes a devotee, because he is engaged directly in hearing and chanting, those things which are like as an extension there in the Vedas, those things he avoids and the main ones remain as it is.
Yeah, I mean, it means you look at it. You take daily and periodic. Daily. What are the daily duties? Right? You get up in the Brahma Muhurta. You take your bath. You know, you cleanse yourself, take your bath. Then you're going to do some kind of worship like that, some kind of sadhana. You're going to take care of, you know, some things at the house and all that. You're going to do your occupation. You're going to come back in the evening. You're going to purify yourself. Take care of, you know, other things in the house and things like that. So that's your daily duties. Okay? So for the devotee, why is he doing those? Yeah, to please Krishna, and it also creates a regularness. You get your japa done every day, you get all these different things. Right? So if you get out of bed, you know, like that, and then, you know, have to rush, you know, go to the toilet, brush your teeth, run out the door, you know, with your bowl of cereal and sit in the back of the car while you're driving to school, you know, how valuable is that in Krishna consciousness? Right? You could say, no, but when I'm eating my cereal, I can remember Krishna. No, when you're eating your cereal, you'll have to be very aware of the car and its acceleration and braking so that you can move the bowl so you don't spill the milk in the bowl. Like that. Does that make sense? So, is that it, or is it getting up early, taking your bath, then you have sadhana and that, sadhana, reading, all these different things, and then you know all the requirements of varnash, I mean, of the pancharatrik system, except the performance of your specific services to Krishna, has been done in the system Prabhupada's given us by breakfast, including breakfast. Right? Because then it's prasad seva. You know what I'm saying? You've done all of the activities required within the system. Does that make sense? Like that. And then there can be further. That's why there's 64 items, because that means including activities during the rest of the day. So it already has, the Pancharatrika already has a Dinacharya by having the 64 items of worship. And having the Panchanga, you know, aspects of the puja like that. You know, you're getting up, you're preparing, you're doing all these different things. So it already takes, it's all about Krishna. Okay, then seasonal, periodic, you know, Ekadasis. Is there a problem with that in Krishna? How about Janmashtami? You know? Okay, let's try a tricky one. What about Nrisinga Chaturdasi? Okay, yeah. So, all these things are there. Or you have your seasonal duties. Right? What are the seasonal duties for? They simply maintain health. So if you know what to eat in what season, you get less sick. So then why are you maintaining health? So you can do your service. So why wouldn't you do them? Right? Does that make sense? Now, if one's just in the temple and one's doing and whatever has to be done here and there, then of course you do. But otherwise, when it's not, it's regular, you'd follow the schedule. Same in family life. When everything's normal, then, you know, that's the time when you're supposed to start laughing. When everything's normal, then all that, then you go through your regular things. And when they're, you know, things are not normal, you know, the kid has to go to the dentist or this or that, then, you know, you have to go to the FRO or, you know, stuff like that. Then, you know, there'll be adjustments. You work around it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Side question regarding what we discussed yesterday and just now. When you say about Varna, and yesterday we discussed about Jati. Krishna has a Jati, like,
yeah,
in the womb of a mother in his womb.
Right.
Can we say that Varna and Jati are the same?
Varna and Jati are the same? I mean, on one level you can say that Varna and Jati would be the same, because then that puts what kind of environment you move in to do your service. So according to that, then you follow those rules. But Jati can also be those who have a similar kind of viewer mentality. So when Rupa Goswami's, you associate with like-minded devotees, with Jati, that means who are similar in how you are attracted to Krishna consciousness, what you value in Krishna consciousness, but ideally they should be more advanced than you. So Jati just means group. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, and then, O King, one who has given up all Varnashram duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not a debtor to or servant of the devatas, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, or pitris. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.41. So, they've given up all the Varnashram duties, means they're not performing the duties because it's Varnashram. They're performing the duties because this is the position they're in and the facility that they can serve Krishna. Right? Or he's gone to the forest, and then again. Does that make sense? Because all these things is that when you're born into the world, you have a debt to these five here. The Pitris, relatives, living beings, great sages, devatas, You have a debt to them. Because by them you have your facility, your position, your identity. So you have a debt. So in Christian consciousness, you don't have that debt. Because you just do everything connected to Krishna. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurav.